Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence with us this afternoon and for how you have just ministered to us and confirmed the word of God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will quicken me and that you will quicken the people, that they will receive this word and take it to heart and act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. God's been challenging me for some time about prayer. And I've been reading a book on revival. And revival starts with one thing: when the people get down to pray. And in 2 Chronicles 7, I think it's verse 12 onwards, but this is a paraphrase of what 2 Chronicles 7, 12 onwards says. It was following Solomon dedicating the temple. And after he had dedicated the temple, that night God appeared to him and spoke to him. And he said to Solomon, "Solomon, I accept your prayer. Yes, I have chosen this place as a house of worship. If my people, who are called by my name..." Now, who does that include? Are you one of God's people called by his name? Let's have a show of hands. Are you one of God's people called by his name? Amen. God's speaking to us, all of us. And he is saying, if you will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face, I'll be there ready for you. I will restore your land and your health. From now on, I'm alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. Believe me, I've chosen and sanctified this temple that you built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it and my heart always in it. Wow, what a promise. God is always here, present here, to hear our prayers. And he's here, and his heart is in this place. His heart is for you, for me, for those outside, and for this area and beyond, because this is where God has placed us. Miraculously, God placed us here. Another verse is our favourite, Matthew chapter 6. But this time we're going to verse 33. Oh no, it's always 33, isn't it? Seek ye first. Matthew 6, verse 33. That scripture says, "Seek first the King of the Kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God wants to be first on our agenda. And if God says to us, "I want you to pray," then he's also saying to us, "I want you to reschedule everything and give me first place." Matthew 7. When we do that, let's go back to Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the King of the Kingdom." When we give God his first portion, God will take care of everything else that we need to do. He'll make sure that everything that we've sacrificed will get done. I know John can testify to that. I can testify to that. Yesterday, as I was preparing this word, I was really tempted this week to say to Andrew, will you preach and I'll do it another week? I don't have time. But God said to me, you do have time. Put me first and I'll make sure everything else gets done. And I stand here today and say, everything else got done. God is faithful. Put him first. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps knocking on the door will be opened. God is faithful, and he tells us to seek him and to pray. And Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, don't worry or fret about anything, but in everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is beautiful. God says, don't worry about anything, don't fret. Pray, give it to me. I'll work on it while you go about your business. And he does work on it while we're going about our business. And he answers us, and it's his delight to answer us because he loves us. And he wants us to be constantly in peace. So here we have a few of God's promises. I will hear. I will heal. I will restore. I will give you all things that you've asked for. The door will be opened and I'll give you peace. With such beautiful promises there, as we put God first and we seek him. In other words, God is looking for a people who will pray and take him at his word. An old revival historian said these words, revival is war between the spirit and the devil. And if it's war, then the greatest weapon God's people have is prayer. That is our greatest weapon. That's why Esther has got good eyesight today. That is why Stacey's back is healed. God is a miracle working God. He answers our prayers. The word of God says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what are strongholds? Strongholds are what the devil is using to keep men and women in bondage, to keep them from hearing and understanding that Jesus died for them and that Jesus loves them and that Jesus wants to set them free. And I thank God that somebody prayed for me and the strongholds in my mind were brought down so that I could hear with my spiritual ears what God was saying. And he was saying to me, Grace, I love you. I know you're not perfect, but while you were yet a sinner, I died for you. That's how much I love you. Follow me. Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, my word is like fire. It's like a weapon that smashes a rock in pieces. If you want an answer and God gives you a word from here, this word is living. It's active and living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. And this is what God says. This is my word. Quote it into the situation that you find yourself in. Quote it to the principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. And this word, as we've sung, will cause the enemy to come crashing down. You can speak to somebody and it seems like it's blank. They're not getting it. It's going straight over their heads. But I'll tell you, are you hearing me? Because there seems to be some. Are they okay? When you speak that word, it brings down every weapon that the devil is trying to use to stop you. And that means breakthrough. 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 Amen? God is going to give us breakthrough. In March this year, he said to us, he showed Andrew, he said, somebody said to Andrew, I see an egg. And it's cracking open and a little chick is coming out. And the words over it are breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. And I think she said breakthrough about 10, 15 times. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. That's what God has promised for us, breakthrough. But to bring breakthrough, I believe God is saying, I need your participation. I need you to have a heart to put aside your agenda and give me an hour a week and get together here in this place and together pray. And I will do miracles when you pray. Amen. Amen. I've been reading a book on revival. And just a little story here to encourage you. In the mid-19th century, there was a gentleman called Jeremiah Lamphere, I believe his name is, Lamphere. And Jeremiah was appointed to do evangelism in a Dutch Reformed church in New York. And Jeremiah was a retired businessman. There's no retirement in God. Hey? And Jeremiah said he was full of enthusiasm. He loved the challenge. And he got out there on the streets of downtown New York. And he was knocking on doors. He was pushing leaflets through doors. He was stood on the street corner handing leaflets out. He was organising clubs to bring the young people in and Sunday school to bring the young people in. But nothing seemed to be working. When he went on the doors, all he met with was people who were indifferent or downright rude. All he could see in their faces was emptiness. No response. He was discouraged and he was frustrated by the lack of response and the rejection of the people. And he really felt that this was a turning point for him and for the nation. And so he did what any godly person would do. He prayed. And he said, God, what do I do? And the answer came back, get the people to pray. So immediately, he set about organising a prayer session. He invited the people to pray for just 1 hour a week. And he picked a lunch hour so that those who were working could come during their lunch hour. And it was from 12 o'clock, started prompt, 12 o'clock, finished 1 o'clock promptly. And that hour, the people prayed. But initially, it took half an hour before anybody joined him. He was the only one there. And half an hour later, he heard some footsteps on the stairs. And somebody walked in until there were six people. And he started with six people. He was not put off. He knew the power of prayer. Well, from the time, actually their meetings were very informal. They consisted of reading the word, praying, giving testimony, sharing thanks for what God had done, singing God's praises, shouting God's praises, and the people were free to participate. It wasn't just about silent prayer. The people were free to express what God was saying and how they were responding to God. This was a miracle. Within 3 weeks of them starting to pray, they were in New York, remember. The New York stock market crashed. The oldest bank in New York failed. And every bank in the city closed its doors. Well, it seemed to go from bad to worse. What did we do when we prayed? Invited God to move in. Because the people were desperate. People were committing suicide. Rich people were committing suicide. My money, my money. My God, my money. It's gone. Thousands became unemployed and marched the streets demanding bread and food. And then a strange thing happened. More people began to flock into the prayer meeting. I think this is fantastic. More churches opened the doors for prayer. God was doing powerful things in those prayer meetings. People came to visit New York, not to see the attractions, but to go to these prayer meetings. Why? Because God was at work. And they wanted to be where the presence of God was. People were giving testimony of salvation, of their loved ones getting saved, of families being restored, of healings, of miracles. It was amazing. Revival had hit, and it spread through most of the states in the US. This was from a few people praying. Within 6 months, 15,000 people were meeting to pray. 6 months, 15,000 people. Tent crusades sprung up from it. It came to the UK and it resulted in 1 million new converts throughout the UK. Who would have thought it? a million new converts in this nation as a result of those few people hearing God and praying. It was at that time that Spurgeon built Westminster Tabernacle, because he needed Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, a huge church, Spurgeon's place where he preached, because there were so many people needing to be taught the Word of God. And finally, in just 3 years, five continents of the world were touched and transformed by that move of God. That astounds me, all because God's people prayed. And I believe God is saying to us, I've brought you to this place. I'm going to fill it. I promised you I'm going to fill it. Now I need you to get alongside me and to pray. Pray empowers the heavenly realms. It brings down the principalities and powers that are trying to withstand us. And up to now, we've done clubs and all sorts, but we're meeting with such resistance. And the only thing that's going to smash it is when my people get together and pray. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Works programs are not wrong, but they need the anointing, the power of prayer behind them to break down the hardness so that we can, the Word of God can go through and bring results. It's a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil cannot stand against the Word of God. How did Jesus overcome temptation in the wilderness when the devil was there throwing things at him? All he said was, it is written. It is written. It is written. The Word of God puts the devil to flight. He runs like crazy when he hears the Word of God. We've got that Word, and we need to speak it out into the atmosphere from this place. God has promised us, the man who promised us this church 20 odd years ago in America, and here we see the results, the fulfillment of that promise, miraculously. 4 years ago, he met with us and he gave us another promise. And he said that such would be the catch of men and women in this place, that we would need a neighbouring boat to bring it all in. God is going to fill this place, without a doubt. And the sooner we get to pray, the sooner we shall see it. Amen? It's not coincidence that God brought us to intake, and that he connected the Nepalese and the English church together. We are one family, God's people. God connected us miraculously and brought us here. We were meeting in Hyde Park, and some of the Nepalese people were going to Hyde Park where we were. But God chose intake. And why did he choose intake? Because I think there are about 500 Nepalese families in intake. And he said, I'm taking you to intake where those people who come and fellowship with you live. And together, we're going to work. Together, I'm going to fill your church, the church I've given you. Not by coincidence that that happened. It's not by coincidence that when there was a counter bid for this church, as a decision was being made as to whether we could take it, God sent a man from Newcastle, put him in St. Aidan's Church, the church that was making the decision about us. He knew Andrew 30, 40 years ago. And when St. Aidan's Church said, who's Andrew? This man stood up and he said, I'll tell you who he is. I've known him for 40 years. And he gave testimony. And because that man spoke, the decision was made in our favour. They said, they can have the church. God will move heaven and earth. And he's moved now. He didn't fellowship there. He came for about 6 months. And he's gone. God brought him in. God's a miracle working God. And he will move heaven and earth to make sure his promise is fulfilled. It's not a coincidence that God took Daniel. He saved him and took him through Teen Challenge. He took him to Bible college. He brought him here to work with us. Because he's the link between the Nepalese and the English. He wants us to be one church, one body, one people working together. Amen. Praying together. These are not coincidences. This is God fulfilling his plan. It's not a coincidence that years ago he gave Joan a house in Wheatley so she could walk here. He gave Helen a house in Armthorpe. She lived miles and miles and miles away. He gave her a house in Armthorpe. She taught the children in Armthorpe. God planning way, way, way before we knew. Chris and Ian from the Methodist Church. It's not by coincidence that God reunited us with Ian after 30 odd years of being apart. And in those 30 years, Ian had remarried. And he'd married a lady from intake who has a heart for intake. And God clearly told them to move from Wheatley Hills to intake Flintwood Methodist. And God brought Chris and Ian and Andrew and I back together, and they join us on Wednesday to pray because they're trying to reach this community, and together we have one heart to reach the community. On a Thursday afternoon, Ian and Chris have an hour's prayer from 2 till 3. And Daniel and Andrew and I go and we join them to pray there for an hour because we want to see intake get breakthrough for God. Amen. When people pray, it doesn't matter. Denominations don't matter. One God, our God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Anybody that can say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, come and join us and pray. Amen? Amen. We're not bothered whether you're Church of England or what. Jesus is Lord. Amen. God has a great plan for intake, and he requires his people to pray. He says, when the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. What's the blessing? The blessing is for us to grow, for this place to be filled, for the unsaved, the ungodly, who don't know any better, to be reached with the gospel. But we must seek God first. We must put God first. We must reschedule our agenda. And I think Andrew would join me in this. If Wednesday evening does not work for the majority of people, then talk to us and let's find a time for an hour a week when we can all get together and pray. There are other things, important things, that affect us all. Our nation's future is in God's hands, and he's calling his people to pray. The whole nation is at a crisis point, because whether we're in favour of Brexit or not, the people have voted for Brexit, and Brexit is going ahead. Everybody's trying to stop it and throw a spanner in the works, but God will have his way as his people pray. The nation needs us desperately at this time. I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't think you can fail to notice, that Christianity is very unpopular at this time. We need to pray. We need to change the spiritual atmosphere. People need to see the power and the might of God again. And they will do as we pray. Ungodly laws have been passed. Abortion, homosexuality. I don't know what the answer is, but I know somebody that does. And I know that God has said that he will bring revival. And when revival hits, the people will have a change of heart. I can't change their hearts. I can't open their eyes to see that it's wrong. We can march with banners and we can shout and scream, but the greatest thing we can do is pray. And God has a plan, and he will set the captives free. Amen. He will bring them into the kingdom and turn their thinking around. The spiritual atmosphere needs changing. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. As we pray, God will move. I'm sure that you've all got family members, I have, that are not saved. I really feel for these members of our families. Some have turned away from God. Some, because their parents turned away, don't even know God. The next generation and the next generation. They're clueless. They don't understand God. They don't know anything about him. I'm sure all of us have personal issues that remain unsolved. God wants to answer those prayers. God wants to meet the needs of you and your family and your friends and your community. And he's saying there's great power, as my people come together and pray. I'll move heaven and earth. You'll see things changed. You'll see miraculous healings. You'll see your children turned around. You'll see the church filled. You'll see miracles. You'll see the demonstration and power of God like we've never seen it before. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want to see more. There's so much more. We haven't touched the tip of the iceberg. There's evangelism in August. We're going out around the streets to do evangelism. We're going to do door knocking, leafleting. It needs a prayer in the powerhouse before we go out there so that we get response. On Saturday, Ian has taken a table at a community event outside Intake Library. Churches Together, he's taken a table for Churches Together. And he's saying, come on, let's get out in that community and let's advertise who we are, what we do and where we're at. So if you can join us, join us. If not, pray for us, because we're going to be out there. There's the Community Fun Day next month, or at the end of August. We've done 2 or 3 now, but we've never seen any lasting fruit from it. I want to see fruit from what we do, and prayer will bring that. Prayer is essential. And this morning when I was praying, God said this to me. He said, I did not give you Intake, All Saints Church, to occupy. I gave it you to multiply. Amen? We're not here to occupy. We're here to multiply. Do we agree? Amen. 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 Woo! We're here to multiply. When God made creation, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication is God's way. God's not a God who does addition, and he doesn't do subtraction. He does multiplication. Amen. Woo! And I'm ready, more than ready, to see God go to work. And I'm committed to pray for an hour a week. If that's what God wants me to do, if he wants me to increase it to 2, I'll do 2. I'll go and join, we go and join Chris and Ian. Come on, 1 hour. Start with 1 hour a week. Let's do it. How many of us are going to be able to commit to that? I pray that God has moved on your hearts and challenged you as he challenged me, because there's going to be no other way it's going to happen. So I'm encouraging you on Wednesday. I would love to see everyone here in Wednesday's prayer meeting. 1 hour. That's all it's going to take. 1 hour. Who's up for it? Who's up for it? Wednesday to pray for an hour. Amen. Amen. If you cannot do Wednesday, then talk to us. And we'll try and reschedule. Well, we'll do our best to make it easy for everybody. But let's do it. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that it will remain and it will resonate in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, don't let go of us until we do it. And until we see you at work and see the miracles that you have promised fulfilled. In Jesus' name. Amen.